between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. Are you ready for another night of restless sleep? Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your host, Giggles, and I am here to guide you through fictional scary stories with laughter. The little kitty Peter Pan is already trying to rub against the computer. Yes, sweetie, I'm trying to work. Lie down now. All right, good girl, good girl. My cats love to get in the middle of whatever I do. Speaking of which, I was so mad with this one the other day. I forgot to close the small window in my kitchen before I went to work, and she tore a hole into the screen to get out. I hope she had fun that day, because that is the last time she is escaping without permission. Now I just have to figure out how to keep my apartment cool. But you didn't come here to listen to cat stories. Well, maybe partly. But I know that the real pull is to scare yourself to laughter. From campy to, if my cat's there, then what was that noise? I want to hear them all because your fucked up brains came up with them. If you want a chance to influence our nightmares, email me at dimlightanxiety@gmail.com with your terror tale. After all, nightmares are a terrible thing to waste. Our author for today has the rest of their story to spook us with. You can find them on Reddit under the username Irvin Lurpton. Check out the description for the spelling. Did you forget what happened last week? Well, I guess that's okay, at least this week, because here's a refresher. Against my better judgment, I'm going to open the door, get the cat out of the room. Trying not to look too closely at her, I realize now that she is sweating a black, oily substance and the bed and floor totally drenched. It's the reason the door was so difficult to open. The demon sweat is sticky. Her eyes are menacing, wide, bloodshot, and yellow. Cat heroics can wait. Submitted for the approval of the guild with Dim Light Anxiety, I call this story The Tale of the Sleep-Talking Girlfriend, Part 2. Titled, My Girlfriend Talks in Her Sleep, Part 3 and 4. Here's what I know. 1. The possession ends when she wakes up. Did any of it really happen? 2. She has no recollection of the previous night. 3. Water disables, but only momentarily. 2 to 3 minutes, maybe? 4. The black ooze she drools and sweats while possessed evaporates? The bed and floor were wet this morning from the water I sprayed. The rest had all disappeared by the time I checked. 5. The cat is fine. 6. I need help. She's taking work calls in the other room. I'm doing my best to focus on my own work, but my mind drifts from my laptop screen. I can't focus. Agreeing to myself that I won't get anything worthwhile done today, I give up and start thinking about the next steps. I need an exorcist. I'm not the kind to call an exorcist. I'm the kind of guy that scoffs at the ideas. They are all scams. You can't have experience in something that doesn't exist. Clearly, I am not the religious type, but I'll table my reservations for now. I'm not going to go through all of that again on my own, feeling totally out of my element but unwilling to call a church. I found an exorcist on Craigslist. Price is no object. Let's get this thing out of my girlfriend. He says he'll come over tonight. He messages me and says it's of the utmost importance that my GF's waking body does not find out what we are going to do. If she does find out and is not able to fall asleep, no refunds. How much more could I expect from a Craigslist exorcist? I'm certainly not thrilled with the idea of a stranger knowing my address, but I am not backing out now. As you can imagine, this was the slowest slog of a day I have ever experienced in my life. I am anxious. I feel physically sick. I jump at everything my girlfriend says. I can't look in her eyes without imagining that eerie yellow tinge behind them. Around lunchtime, I hear her humming happily in the kitchen. She really has no idea, does she? A profound sense of certain death washes over me as I watch her wield a knife to cut vegetables. Finally, the work day is over. My acting this evening was on par with any Oscar winner. Remembering what the exorcist told me and failing to come up with an excuse, I got into bed with her. I made sure to place the cat in a comfortable spot in the living room this time. We're reading side by side when she leans over, kisses me goodnight. My eyes open and turns out her bedside table light. I'm going to keep mine on for now. Thank you. My body tense with desire to bolt. We begin to spoon. She cannot learn something's wrong. Just a little longer. I figure I'm safe as long as I exit before she's asleep, right? Right? She raises her head and asks, "Why is your heart beating so fast?" Thinking quickly, "Just freaking myself out by the book, that is all. Maybe reading horror before bed isn't the best decision." Thankfully, she laughs at my obsession for the macabre and returns her head to the pillow. I count down from 3 minutes. That's 180 Mississippis. She must have been close to asleep because she didn't protest when I got up. I install the chair as my lock and wait. "Where are you, pumpkin? Can't you sleep?" This is so close to my girlfriend's voice, I am certain I made the whole thing up. I'll play it safe, I decide, and not respond. Again. "It's cold without you, baby. Come back to bed." I'm sure it's cold as hell where this thing is from. I'm not opening that door. There's someone coming up the driveway. It's late. Don't let them in. I stand up to answer the front door. Outside, in the dim front door light, is a tall man clad in traditional priest garb. He looks like Ethan Hawke from that movie, First Reformed, but clearly with a body covered in tattoos, as evidenced by the inked skin poking out from beneath his cuffs. Pretty much exactly what you would expect from a Craigslist exorcist. There's not much time to introduce ourselves as we hear an alarming scrape come from the bedroom. I take this moment to read the priest's face and check if he actually has experience with this. He seems to at least be brave. His face is giving no indication that he is wearing a costume for a quick buck. Outside of the bedroom door now, in hushed tones, he begins to explain what he is going to do, brandishing a Bible and a small jar of holy water. I decided not to explain that sink water works fine. We're about to open the door. Hands on the chair, I hear scraping again. This time, I realize the sound was never coming from the bedroom. It came from the living room. To my left, I hear the stranger breathe out softly. The cat. The cat had been watching us this whole time. Its normally green eyes now bloodshot and yellow. No pupils in sight. Poking from around the corner. Black paste drooling from its agape mouth. Leaving a snail trail of fluid behind it as it stalks out into the open. It attempts to hiss while making eye contact with the priest, but all that comes out is a bubbling gurgle as more fluid leaks onto the hardwood. Are the cat's legs longer than usual? It looks like it has grown 5 inches in height, typically sitting around ankle height, but now could stand as high as my knees. I curse quietly to myself. How could I have been so stupid? Of course the cat managed to get itself possessed. It spent the whole night in the bedroom, presumably, quote-unquote, mopping up the vicious black oil wet food with its mouth. New plan, cat first. I shit you not, the cat fucking talks. Its mouth doesn't move from its totally agape resting position, but the voice comes out of its mouth. It's that same too-deep nightmare voice I'm all too familiar with. I told you not to let him in. Just then, my girlfriend decides she needs attention again. A consistent rapping of knuckles on the door. Let me out! Let me out! Let me out! I'm triaging the situation in my mind when I realize the moment I took my eyes off the cat, it rocketed itself forward, climbed the priest's tall body, wrapped its two long legs around his neck, and constricts him like a snake. It maintains dull eye contact with me as I look on in horror. The priest drops his Bible and holy water on the ground, attempting to tear the cat's octopus-like legs away from his neck. He succeeds momentarily and cites what I assume is a Bible verse. The cat puts a stop to this with a quick navigation of its tail deep down into the priest's throat, coughing and hysterical. He can't manage to escape its impossible grip, claws digging bloody fissures into his neck. My turn, as I grab the holy water from the ground and grapple with the cat's jaw, pouring the contents of the jar down its slime-obstructed throat. Immediately, the cat falls to the ground like a corpse. Legs splayed in every direction, it lays on the ground, defeated. For now. Once the cat is safely inside its travel carrier, the priest and I share a grim look. I ask him if he's ever dealt with this kind of thing before. Rubbing his neck. Of course, a thousand times. It takes a great deal of conviction for me to not physically roll my eyes. Glad to have you around then. Slime tendrils seek blind escape from air holes in the side of my travel carrier as I explain to the priest not to swallow any of the black liquid. I think there may not be much hope for him now that my cat's tail has penetrated deep into his throat, but we can discuss this later. My train of thought is interrupted by the sobbing harassment of a girlfriend possessed in the bedroom. You don't love me. You never loved me. The doorknob shakes with dreadful force, tremors ringing through the hallway. Fingers emerge at the bottom of the door, vicious oil dripping under splotched fingernails. Open this door or I'll kill the girl. The fingers vanish. A pause. Breaking glass from inside the room. Is it planning to jump out of the window? Surely it is bluffing. We are on the third floor. Like any parasitic creature, it wouldn't gravely harm its precious host. There is a renewed sense of urgency at this threat. But I'm at a loss. We poured quote-unquote holy water down the cat's throat, but its body has already turned into an abomination I can only describe as the alien from The Thing. I wondered to myself if one of those squirming legs is going to detach, sprout a blinking eyeball, and hide in the vent. I feel helpless. I can't stay up all night, misting my girlfriend like she's a damp pet chameleon for the rest of my life. Still out of breath from being choked by the cat, the priest manages to wheeze, "We need to open the door." What will we do? Water stops her, but only for a minute. It's too dangerous to perform the rites while she is still in this form. We'll get her in the shower and then restrain her. This is a good idea. Why didn't I think of that? Feeling a touch more brave as the priest increasingly proves himself as an asset, I begin to remove the chair. Thank you, baby. Why did you lock me in here? I have been so scared. My subconscious will forever be unwilling to separate the pleas of a demonic beast from the genuine pleas of my loving girlfriend. I hesitate, but with effort manage to shrug off this false appeal for normalcy. Chair in hand, I take a step back from the door. For a single beat, there is silence. The latch clicks. She is opening the door. Shining black, slick hair emerges, covering her face in totality through the crack in the door. She seems to have gained several inches in height as her full form comes into view. Then a single ringed yellow eye reveals itself through her long hair. I search in that eye for some sign that she is still there, somewhere. Anywhere. She is wielding a broken shard of glass and holding it to her own wrist. There is no time for protest before the priest has already sprayed her down. Her frenzied dodge is thwarted as a second jet of water dampens the pajamas my mother bought for her for Christmas. I will never forget the powerlessness I felt in the next few moments. With only a few seconds left of the control, the demon cuts my girlfriend's hand cruelly at the wrist with the shard of glass. That not being enough, she gnaws the rest off with her mouth. Completely dismembered, her hand splashes to the ground in a grotesque, murky puddle of blood and oil. Stunned, I witness a transformation of the human body before me. Her body shakes globally and erratically on the ground as her skin regains its color. I remember a classmate from school who had seizures and that we needed to protect her head, but I am incapacitated. The priest doesn't take time to emotionally reckon the fact that my girlfriend just lost her non-dominant hand. He scoops her up, rushes her to the shower, and turns on the water. A mixture of shell shock and a concussion, maybe, left me standing idle while I stared slow motion from the severed fist to the shower, back to the bedroom. The beast has been proficiently turning our bedroom into some kind of nest. The walls, windows, and ceilings are painted in black as night paste with the consistency of spoiled milk, dripping from the ceiling fan onto the bed. Our furniture is unrecognizable in the spiderweb of fluid coating the room. The priest is washing his hand in the bathroom sink. He comes and stands before me, shaking me at the shoulders, evidently having been demanding things of me for the last few seconds. Anybody home? We need to act. I need your help now. I come back to reality. The priest now gritting his teeth and manic at my seeming inability to cope with the fact that life will never go back to normal. Do you have any rope or handcuffs? Anything to restrain her with? I have some bungee cords down in my car. I'll get them. I sprint to the stairs and bellow down them three at a time. Grabbing the keys off the hook, I run to the car, locate the bungee cords in the trunk, and rush back upstairs. The priest has torn apart our medical cabinet looking to apply first aid to my girlfriend's arm and is applying pressure as I approach. I frantically tie a single bungee cord as a makeshift tourniquet to slow the bleeding. We carry her lifeless body back to the bed and restrain her to the frame. Both legs and one arm. Her head hangs limp. I wonder how long it will be before she turns back into that monster. But then she wakes up. She looks up at me, totally disoriented, then cries desperately as the plane sets in. It's okay, baby. It's okay. I know this is bad. Believe me, we are working on it. There is a lump in my throat as I sit down on the bed, repeatedly kissing her on the forehead and attempting to assuage the impossible. She is in so much pain. I almost want the monster to take back control so she cannot feel it anymore. Mercifully, she faints. Eyes still open. I point her chin up towards me and watch as that hollowness returns. From brown to yellow, her pupils go opaque in their descent into madness once again. Tears and blood still on her face, she smiles. It's over. You have failed. Amen. That too familiar deep voice reverberates through a sinister grin. How is this witting in the eyes of the creature? It is restrained more so than before. It knows something we don't. Something in my peripheral. It is my girlfriend's severed hand, fingers padding across the floor like a spider. A trail of sludge follows it as it reaches its destination, the spray bottle. It senses we have seen it, its form turning to look at us with no ability to see. The hand leaps, tackling the spray bottle and tumbling awkward down the stairs. I am speechless. We have to go after it. We can't let it go outside of the house. Violent thrashing from the bedroom. The priest. The knots are holding. You go after the hand. I will perform the rites. Running down the stairs, I hear the distant murmurings of the ritual. Lord above, Richard of the world. Have mercy on us. It's just a hand. It couldn't have gone far. It could have let the cat out. It could be worse. It could be worse. I turn on the lights as I go. It's on the first floor. I tiptoe over black slime, extra cautious so as not to get any on me. I'm reminded of the time my pet snake escaped and my girlfriend and I spent an entire afternoon looking for it. But looking for a snake isn't like looking for a cat. Cats can get underneath and above objects. Snakes can get inside of objects. A hand could be anywhere. In between the couch cushions, inside the laundry machines, it could already be outside. I have it cornered. It's behind the refrigerator. I act like I haven't noticed the trail of slime leading right there, and walk as casually as possible to the cabinet to fill a glass of water. My weapon is at the ready. I walk to the side of the refrigerator and peek behind it. Nothing. Suddenly, a prolonged silhouette covers the kitchen light. Pouncing like an insect, the hand leaps from the top of the refrigerator, the perfect height to land right on my face. The hand, still wearing my girlfriend's class ring, attaches to my head, pulling my hair until it clenches a vice grip with a thumb behind my top layer of teeth, pressing the pointer and ring finger into each eye socket. I drop my glass on the ground. It takes both hands to remove the hand from my face, and I throw it as hard as I can against the wall. My vision blurred. I picked my girlfriend's disoriented hand from the ground and ran water over it in the sink. I splash water in my face and wash out my mouth as best as I can. Harried, I fill a cooler with ice and water and throw the hand inside. I ran back upstairs, hoping, maybe praying, that the priest did his job. It is silent, except for the demonic mews of the cat in the other room. The priest is hulking over my girlfriend, muttering something under his breath as he cradles the Bible in one hand and his fingers point in all directions in the other. Noticing me, he hurriedly shuts his Bible, but seeing one of the pages, I note that it is in fact not a Bible at all. Inside are what I can only imagine demonic scrawls and symbols would look like. But the priest has done his job, he says. The demon has left her. This one is so fucking great. It gives me such an Evil Dead vibe in the best of ways. I love it. I love reading it. I love listening to it. It's awesome. Not anywhere I thought the story was going to go at the beginning, but very well done. I guess what we're all wondering is, do you think the demon is really gone? Or did that quote-unquote priest just make it stronger? And what about the hand? Oh man, this seems so far from over. We'll just have to see if the author comes up with more parts later. Well, you heard it too. What did you think? Was it scary enough? Or better question, can you do better? Can you scare the laughter out of me? Now for the details. The Guild is waiting for you to become more active. We want to hear and fear your imagination. To become more active, just visit the website. Everything you could want to be more involved in the Guild is right there. From writing prompts to links to write to me. It's full of fun and informative information. Oh, wait. What is the website, you ask? That's easy. It's just the name of the podcast with the .com at the end. That's dimlightanxiety.com. Please, guys, give me a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, Anchor, or any platform you use to listen to today's episode. It really helps the podcast get more of an audience, which in return gets these hardworking, amazing writers the attention they deserve. And by the way, thank you so much for listening to today's episodes. None of this could be done without you. I'm so glad you decided to join with us for the first story of the new season, written by our author with the username Irvin Lerpton, which is all one word. Check the description for the spelling. Hey, I bet you thought I was going to forget this week's writing prompt. Sorry, no such luck there. Here it is. The cat scratched a huge hole out of the screen. I turned to notice at least she made it back inside, but what did she drag in with her? I may not have quite let it go yet. Well, we finally made it through. Yay! To the ending of this tale that will haunt my nightmares and possibly yours tonight. Enjoy, if you dare. Carefully placing my girlfriend in the back seat, I yell back to the priest, "I'll pay you when I get back." Putting on my seatbelt, I look out the window and note a tattoo on his arm similar to the symbol I saw in the false Bible. Driving to the hospital like a husband would if his wife had gone into labor, I wonder if you could surgically reattach a hand like you can a finger. Then I wonder if the hand even should be reattached. Do I need to ask the priest to perform pious rituals to just a hand? I declare this meeting of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety closed. Until next week, hopefully you're able to keep all your extremities. Creep it real! This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment.